So here we go. First time caller line. You're on the air with Neil Slade. Good morning.
Yes. My question is, have you ever tried remote viewing?
To Neil? Yes. Neil, have you? And what comments do you have on remote viewing?
This was one of the first things I learned at George Green. We used to call it astral projection back then.
Okay.
And I can recall now reading books on that particular subject. And I did that some. And my experience was that sometimes I was more accurate than other times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a friend close by, and when she clicks her amygdala forward and gets into her frontal lobes, she does remote healing sessions. And she recently did this. She does different kinds of physical therapy. And if she can't get somewhere, she will also do this remotely, okay? And she recently told me a story of contacting a woman in Wyoming whom she had never been to her house before, but they had set up a time to where this woman would receive this remote healing. And so she did she projected to this woman's house. She found herself inside the house. She looked around the living room, and she looked in the bedroom where this woman was supposed to be lying down in her bed.
Right.
And the woman wasn't there, according to her remote viewing. So she had to look around this house, and she saw a few objects. She saw a rocking chair, and she saw a pot of flowers or something. And then she found the woman doing yoga in a recreation room, okay?
Okay.
Now, according to the plan ahead of time, she was supposed to be lying down in bed at this appointment time so she would be healed. Well, anyway, she found the woman doing yoga, at least she thought she was in her viewing, and she went ahead and she did the light body work that she does. Well, then when she talked to this woman a couple days later on the phone, turns out that's what the woman was doing. She said, oh yeah, that's right. That night I forgot that I was supposed to be in bed and I was doing yoga. And she also confirmed the location of several of the objects that the woman had seen in her remote healing. So that pretty much confirms.
So not just remote viewing, but remote healing.
The remote viewing almost was a side thing that happened as a... She didn't go there to remote view. It wasn't for entertainment or just for the health.
No, I understand.
She went to heal the woman, and in the process, you know, she looked around the house with the remote, astral projection, and it was accurate. And she had never been there before in her life, and she had just met the woman, so.
All right, there you are. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Neil Slade. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Where are you?
I'm calling from Valley, Nebraska.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi, Neil.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. It's such a pleasure to hear this type of topic.
Thank you.
One question I have is, how does this type of ability relate to dream control and astral travel?
Okay, we kind of were moving in that direction anyway. Is there a relationship? Obviously, there is.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, as I was saying before, when you go to sleep, a couple things happen. One is you turn off, you never turn off your reptile brain all the time, because your reptile brain controls your heart and your breathing, your autonomic nervous system. It controls all the stuff that you don't have to be bothered to think about that keeps your circulation going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
So while you're sleeping, those functions are still awake. But the other increased functions, fight or flight responses, those are turned off generally while you're sleeping, unless you have a nightmare.
Right.
Okay, and then those will flash on and off, and you will wake up in the middle of the dream, and your heart will be racing. But most of the time, most of us, when we dream, we click out of reptile brain, we go into frontal lobe circuit, okay, and we connect on all different kinds of levels, and the energy is diverted to our sleeping. I look at dreams in a couple of ways. One function of dreaming is to fulfill psychological needs that aren't being met during our waking life. And our frontal lobes can do that. And we found that that experiences that we have in our mind, okay, the psychological and neurological effect of dreams, daydreams, visualization,
mm-hmm.
has the exact same neurological effect on memory and other types of body functions as the actual event. Okay?
Fascinating, yes.
So when we dream certain things that we have a psychological need for, it keeps us in balance. The other function of dreams, since we're going in our frontal lobes, it allows us to project somewhat into precognitive fields, and we can get a feel for events that are likely to happen in the future. So while you're dreaming, you will get hints, you will get warnings, you will get suggestions of directions that you should go, that normally during your waking consciousness you filter out, or you're not able to access because you've got all these reptilian circuits on.
I'm with you all the way.
Okay.
The name of your book again is?
It's The Frontal Lobe Supercharge.
All right. And you can get it, folks, by calling one of two 800 numbers. I'm going to try and repeat now. Check me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
One of them is 1-800-362-1670. And by the way, is that a 24-hour number?
That's a 24-hour number. It will probably fill up tonight if it's busy or...
Yep. So keep trying,
you'll get through.
That's 1-800-362-1670
or
1-888-682-7717.
That's correct. And of course, you can just send $12.95 to me in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
And that's P.O. Box 6799, Denver, Colorado. 80206, and the prices include all postage.
Denver, Colorado, the zip code again, please?
80206.
80206. Got it. All right, good. Let's move on. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Neil Slade. Hello.
Hello. I'd like to say hi to Mr. Bell and Mr. Slade. This is Sasha. I'd like to thank you, Mr. Bell, for putting on this program, because it's... been on a very joy thing over the past 2 years when I've listened to it. Me and my grandmother and my brother and my mother have listened to it over the 2 years, and I think you have very amazing guests and programs. And
yes.
The question is for Mr. Slade is, how far have you gone with the with this? I mean, what have you done?
That's a good question. We talked about cloud busting. Have you gone beyond that, Neil?
Well, you know, to be perfectly honest, I concentrate on music. I am a composer and a musician primarily by career.
Right.
So for me, although, you know, there are these what may sound like fantastic abilities to that one can access of changing the weather and telepathy, I mean, I let those things just happen when they happen. For me, if I can sit down and play a song on the guitar, to me, that's the best thing that I can do. If I can create music, or if I can do a painting, or if I can create a book, to me, that's the culmination of all the work.
So you're actually using this ability for creative enhancement.
Creating, yeah, right. I mean, you know, it all fits together in one big, you know, strawberry pie or whatever.
Sure.
But for me, you know, eventually you come back to... just really enjoyment of the simple things in life. And you don't have to do magic every day. Just taking my dogs for a walk is the most glorious, magical thing I can do. And so when you say, how far have I taken it, the furthest anyone can take it is to enjoy life every single day. That's the best gift that you can have.
I've got you. All right. First time caller line, you're on the air with Neil Slade. Hi.
Hello?
Hello.
Okay, you have to excuse my voice. I'm having a throat surgery here pretty quick.
Sorry to hear that. I hope it goes well. Oh, where are you, sir?
I got a question for Neil Slade. I just started listening to the program.
Hold it. Where are you?
I'm in Arizona.
Arizona, okay. You've got a question. Fire away.
Yeah, I was raised very open-mindedly about the subjects you're talking about tonight. And I experienced during my childhood, and I never really got into it, my mother and my sister used to do energy transference. And my sister also has a, I'd call a gift, to see the aura around your hand.
Yes.
Like, and also into another realm or dimension or another different consciousness where she can see even another world, she said, just by shifting her eyes. Have you ever heard of such a thing of energy transference, of drawing off one another, and people are even seeing their aura?
Well, I've not only heard of that, but I've heard of psychic vampires and a lot more. Neil?
Yeah. That reminds me of something that Carlos Castaneda used to write about, and when he talked about shifting. And one thing I've noticed that people, when they click into their frontal lobes, the world looks different.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you pick up things that everybody else is missing. A friend of mine, she clicked into her frontal lobes one day, and she's walking through the campus of Metropolitan State College of Denver, and there were dozens of people there, and she spotted a I don't know where it came from. She spotted a $20 bill just sitting on the sidewalk. She picked it up. She says, "Who does this belong to?" Nobody claimed it. No one else saw it.
Now there is a miracle.
Okay.
I mean, when you hold it up and say, "Whose is this?"
Who is it? No one claimed it. She was clicked into her frontal lobe, so her perceptions. When you click into more advanced cooperative parts of your brain and out of self-defense counterattack, your peripheral sensitivity is 10 times that of a person who is clicked into their reptile brain. So, you know, that's one way to look at this shifting and seeing.
Well, I'd like to see you try that same experiment in Las Vegas. Maybe on a crowd in the strip somewhere. All right, Wild Card Line, you're on the air with Neil Slade. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
I had a question. I had this experience. I'm from Ohio.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I had this experience. I was in school, and I went to this vending machine to get something to eat. I know it sounds kind of silly, but I didn't put any money in it or type anything in. And I wanted Funyuns, and it said dimes only, and I had dimes and some other miscellaneous change. And
right.
I was upset, and I looked up, and all of a sudden the spring just moved and dropped the Funyuns. I was so amazed.
You're kidding.
That's fantastic.
It is fantastic. That's an incredible story. That really happened.
Yeah, it really happened.
You swear on a stack of fast food.
I swear on a stack of fast food.
There you go. He can
have it. Swear to God.
All right. Now, you know what? I had a fax. I'm getting a million faxes. I had a fax a little while ago who said, tell Neil, not only does it work, but I have used it to get this, Neil, to get parking places.
Oh, yes, yes.
Really?
I have this on film.
What?
This
what?
Is a really funny story. I got to tell you this. Now, comes from a friend of a friend, and she took. Now, if you're a Scientology person, that's cool. Okay, whatever works for you. But
yeah.
This one person spent like $3,000, $4,000 taking Scientology classes for years.
Yes.
She got through with it, and she says, "You know, I didn't get anything out of it except for this one thing. I learned in Scientology that there's always a parking space for you."
Yeah.
So whenever I go downtown and I need a parking space, I have a mantra, and the mantra is L. Ron Hubbard, L. Ron Hubbard. And as long as I say that, I get a parking space. So I started doing that. I swear to God, whenever I need a parking space,
you go to L. Ron Hubbard?
I do L. Ron Hubbard. And I get, and we actually have it. We went downtown one day, we were doing a film, and the parking spaces were jammed. So as a joke, I just, on camera, I started saying, L. Ron Hubbard. And at the 2 seconds later, this guy comes, waves us down in the street.
Huh.
He says, "I'm leaving." He says, "Don't put any money in the meter. It's still good."
Oh, no, really?
So.
My God, that's as good as holding up the $20 bill and asking whose is it and not getting an answer.
So there you go. Yes, you can get parking spaces with meditation or just by saying L. Ron Hubbard.
L. Ron Hubbard.
Maybe there's a mantra for Funyuns.
Well, I've got one for you. Next time you want to see an odd or unusual light in the sky or something even manifestly more profound, chant Art Bell.
That may work.
Sorry, I just couldn't resist. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Neil Slade. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, we can barely hear you.
Hi.
Oh, talk into the phone. That's, you know, the mouthpiece there. It'd be fine.
Okay.
Where are you?
Gentryville, Indiana.
Okay. Speak up good and loud. Do you have a question?
Yes. I hope I dialed the right number.
Well, I hope you did, too.
Art Bell.
You're not wanting to order a pizza, right?
No.
You're wanting to be on the air with Art Bell and Neil Slade, right?
Absolutely.
Well, bingo then.
Well, first of all, during the break while ago, I tried the visualization, and it was so neat because I kind of felt like I kicked out of my body. And then I kind of came to myself, and you all were talking again.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if I got to, like, first base or what.
It sounds like, you know, when you start thinking of, when you start going outside yourself, when you start connecting with what does someone else need, what does, you know, when you get out of the me circuit, you literally go somewhere else.
And,
young lady, can I ask you to hold on through our break?
Yes.
It's our nickel. And
sure.
Neil, hold on for a moment. I've got a couple of things that I've got to get on.